This episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to get through game day all football season long. And it doesn't matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment for the League of Football watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition of the podcast. It's episode 3 this week of at least 5. Or no, today is actually episode 4, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast on any platform. So obviously today is Thursday, which means it's crossover Thursday. You're not going to hear me for long on the episode because my co-host Gino Camilleri sat down with Locked On Giants host Patricia Traina for segments 2 and 3 as they preview this Eagles-Giants NFC East battle on Sunday. The Eagles at 3-4-1. They're in first place in the NFC East, and they're looking to continue that lead, continue to build the cushion between Philly, New York, Dallas, and Washington. It's crazy that the Eagles at 3-4-1 have a pretty comfortable lead, and so they can continue to build on that lead on Sunday and try to beat the New York Giants for the 9th straight time. Yeah, the Eagles have not lost to the Giants since 2016, since Carson, the first matchup of the 2016 season at MetLife when Carson Wentz was a rookie. So they have had the Giants number. They've won some big games against the Giants that have helped turn around the season. In 2018, they're down, what, almost 19 points at the end of the half. They're 4-6 coming off that blowout against the New Orleans Saints. Malcolm Jenkins gets that big pick on Eli Manning to end the half. Carson Wentz, the run game, the offensive line, the defense as well, charges back, and they get to 5-6, and that's what really started that run. You know, we all remember Nick Foles coming in that year, playing that big game on Sunday night against the Rams and then the Texans and against Washington, but you got to remember that 2018 run started with that comeback against the Giants, where Carson Wentz helped win that game, and then the Monday night game the next week against Washington, and then last year, the same thing. You're down 17 points at halftime, coming off that embarrassing loss in Miami. If you lose that Giants game, the season's over, but instead, Carson Wentz and the Eagles lead a comeback in the second half. They win in overtime, and that sparked a second consecutive late season run, and you of course beat the Giants week 17 last year to win the NFC East. So the Eagles have had the Giants number, and then this year again you see that 11-point comeback against the Giants on Thursday night 3 weeks ago, and that's really helped them get rolling here and grab first place in the NFC East after two tough losses against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. You're now riding a 2-game win streak, hoping to make it 3 against New York. I will say, however, I'm a little nervous because the Giants have kept the games close this year. I mean, we know the Eagles probably should have lost against them on primetime a couple weeks ago. They kept things close against Tampa Bay. They've beaten Washington both times this year. The Giants play close with everybody. They can put up points, and so this is going to be a closer matchup than I think. Not that people believe. I think most Eagles fans expect this game to be close based on the way the Eagles play down to their opponents, I feel like, this year, and they play up to the better opponents as well. But I think based on the Eagles' track record against the Giants, you would just assume this is going to be a cakewalk like it has been. You're always getting wins against this team, but I don't think it's going to be that way. It's going to be close on both sides of the ball, and Gino and Patricia, they'll dive deeper into the matchups here to keep an eye on in segments 2 and 3 right here on Crossover Thursday. But before we get into that, just a quick injury update. Things are looking really good, and that's the one thing you should feel good about is, yes, I think this game's going to be close. The Giants should have beat the Eagles last time at home. They play close with the best of the best, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and so I think it's going to be a close game, but the Eagles are also going to be way healthier than they were the last time New York saw this football team. According to Dave Zingaro of NBC Philadelphia, Lane Johnson, Miles Sanders, Alshon Jeffrey, Malik Jackson, Jack Driscoll, Isaac Seumalo, and Craven LeBlanc all returned to practice again today. So the Eagles could be hypothetically getting back, maybe not this week, but within the next game or two, their starting right tackle in Lane Johnson, their star running back in Miles Sanders. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's going to play Sunday. You know, I don't know about Lane Johnson yet, but I know Sanders and Jeffrey will play against the Giants. Malik Jackson, probably going to be back at defensive tackle in with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave. And then you have added depth on the offensive line with Jack Driscoll. And then we'll see Isaac Seumalo if he can return to left guard. He was activated to that 21-day practice window earlier this week. So that's the one thing is, yeah, I think this game could be close. But the Eagles have the Giants number, and they're getting healthier here as they try to build onto their lead in the NFC East. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, but I'm going to say sayonara for now because Gino Camilleri and Patricia Traina, they're going to dive into this Eagles-Giants matchup 1 o'clock on Sunday. We'll get into all the matchups you need to know about Eagles offense versus the Giants defense versus the Eagles offense coming up next right here on Crossover Thursday, and it's sponsored by Pepsi. This football season, it's been different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you have to watch this season. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. No, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Guys, today's Locked On Eagles Crossover Thursday is also sponsored by DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. For me, I work the overnight shifts at the radio station, like I always say, and I can't leave the building, right? I'm running all the radio stations. I'm the only one in the building. So if I want to get food, I got to go with DoorDash. It's so clutch. DoorDash is my lifeline for the overnight shifts. Ordering is so easy. All you got to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting, so you do not have to worry about meeting your driver face-to-face. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's. I'm a big Cheesecake Factory guy. The Cheesecake Factory is out there as well. They also have 7-Eleven right now. That's right. 7-Eleven is available on DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Once again, that's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON.
Hey, welcome back, Giant fans, to the Locked On Giants podcast, and a big welcome to the Eagle fans, who I feel like we just welcomed you guys not too long ago. The Giants and Eagles, round two of the 2020 season. And this one is going to be a big one, because if the Giants somehow break the hex that the Eagles have had over them for the last eight or so games, they could end up tied for first place in the NFC East. Yeah, that's right, folks. You heard that correctly. Tied for first place in the NFC East, in a division that's just awful. And here we are. We are on the Crossover Show. And as always, for the Crossover Show, I'm happy to welcome in Gino Camilleri. He is the co-host of Locked On Eagles, and he's going to help us get up to speed on what's been going on with the Eagles over the last few weeks since the last time the Giants met with them. Gino, welcome to the program as always. And like we were talking about before we recorded, I feel like we just talked yesterday.
I know. It was week 7 in a matchup that was pivotal in one of those miracle games that the Eagles and always like to come out on top over the Giants. And you're right, they have this hex over the Giants the last few games. And I always think back to the DeSean Jackson punt return, and I always like these matchups at the Meadowlands because they really do bring out the best in both teams, I feel, and they're never games that are boring or a blowout. So I'm excited for this week, and you're right, Patricia. They could be tied for the lead in the NFC East after this week, in week 10 with 3 wins. I mean, if you were to give me 1,000 scenarios how this division would have played out, you would have never got me to believe that the division leader would have four wins at week 10 or week 11 in the season. It's just truly unbelievable how bad this NFC East has been.
Yes, it is. It's wild, man. I mean, nobody seems to want it. It's like a hot potato or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, Gino, let's get caught up. What's been going on since the last time the Giants and Eagles saw each other? I think we've got to start probably with the fact that the Eagles are getting a little bit healthier.
Yeah, it's exciting to hear. And frankly, that was one of the things that when I was evaluating the second half of the season and how it ultimately would come about, I was very, very excited to see that they are going to get healthy. And you always had that in the back of your mind. Once guys go out early in the year, you always do have that ability to bring them back later in the season. And for a team like the Philadelphia Eagles that gets hot down the stretch and usually plays their better football in the second half of the season, and Doug Peterson, he's, if you take away Andy Reid's last year in Philadelphia, his time as a head coach or an offensive coordinator after the bye, he's nearly 20. He has 20 more wins than he does losses. So it just goes to show you that Doug plays his best ball, coaches his best ball, gets his guys ready to play the best after the bye week. And what a better game than to go into New York, a division foe, somebody that you had trouble with a few weeks prior. And what a way to maybe get going in the right direction. You have guys like Isaac Seumalo and Lane Johnson probably going to be back healthy on the offensive line, something we haven't seen since week one of the season. Those two gentlemen only took around 20 snaps together. Miles Sanders should be coming back. Dallas Goedert was back against Dallas, but he wasn't fully healthy. He should be fully healthy for this game. And frankly, that's the one positive that I have moving forward, is that you are going to get playmakers back on both sides of the football. Not just this week, but week 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, you have guys coming back. There's so many guys on the IR. You're going to get reinforcements week by week. It's just playing the patience game and going 1-0 week in and week out for the Eagles.
Now, Gino, we didn't have an opportunity to speak after that first Giants-Eagles game, and I'm always curious to get the take of the opposing hosts if I get the chance to circle back with him. When you saw the Giants' first year under head coach Joe Judge, what kind of stood out to you as being really noticeably different in a good way?
I could say they were much more fundamentally sound in terms of not taking stupid penalties, in my opinion. I think they had playmakers on both sides of the football. I was really pleased seeing your pass rush. It was really something that we hadn't seen in the last few years. And I was thinking in the back of my mind that Patricia definitely is happy that they're getting after Carson Wentz. And frankly, I thought it was one of the better matchups we'd seen in the last few years. And ultimately, like I had said, I believe on that episode that I believed it would come out to be an adversity type of game that the Eagles have won so many times. And frankly, Joe Judge will start to win those matchups. And as a first-year head coach, Doug Peterson saw a bunch of those same losses where you're losing by 1 or 2 points. But that is promising because you have a lot of young players on that team that get confidence in knowing that you can go up against a team that was just in the Super Bowl a few years back and has been to the playoffs the last 2 years. And that's very promising, especially in your division when you're going to draft and you're going to build to beat your division opponents. When you're holding them to 22 points and you're within a point of winning, I think that's very promising for the future.
Indeed, Gino. Now, you mentioned Carson Wentz, and I know he has been in the news a lot because, you know, he at times he looks good, at times not so much. What's going on with him? I know I asked you this last time we spoke, but it just seems like it's been a roller coaster with him all year.
It really has, and I feel so bad for him because, I mean, frankly, I don't know why people are so critical of Carson, not just for his football play, but I feel like a lot of it is personal attacks too. And if you look at what Carson does off the field, he's just exactly who you want leading your franchise. And frankly, on the field, I mean, what more can we want as Philadelphia Eagles fans? We hadn't seen a playoff appearance since 2013 before Carson Wentz came around. He's now led three, going on possibly four teams to consecutive playoff berths. We had never seen a 4,000-yard passer. It's just crazy to me that we are still trying to figure out this quarterback position when, frankly, I think we have the answer. The thing with Carson is he's a good football player playing bad football. And I think there are a lot of different factors. You can go into the continuity, the offensive line, the continuity with his playmakers. A lot of them are young. A lot of them are rookies. You go to all the guys that they brought in this offseason to overhaul the offensive game plan, and Rich Scangarello and Marty Morningwig and Doug Peterson, I feel, is a lot to blame for that as well, because I did a little calculation the other day. I went and looked at some of Carson Wentz's next-gen stats and his DVOA, just seeing his efficiency and just how accurate and aggressive he was over the last few years. And if you look at his 2017 campaign, where he was his most efficient, and his 2018 campaign, where he was his most accurate, the thing with Carson was his time to throw was under 2.75 seconds. Currently in 2020, he's holding the ball for 2.92 seconds. And the thing with Wentz, if you go back to 2017, when things were really clicking for him, it was that quick RPO game where he's able to process the field very fast. He's a very intelligent individual, but when he has to hold on to the ball for too long, he gets very smart, and sometimes his brain takes over and it kind of shuts off, and he gets into hero ball and he turns into the Hulk and he destroys things. And frankly, he has to find that balance. And I think Doug Peterson and the play calling and getting him into a rhythm early on in games, like in the first few drives, has been something that we haven't seen in probably a year and a half to 2 years. And I believe Carson is the answer. I never thought they should bench him, but he really has to figure it out down the stretch, and I believe he can. And a lot of those wounds are self-inflicted, just making dumb decisions with the football, holding on for it too long, or even throwing some of those stupid interceptions like he did against Dallas and the Niners. But Carson Wentz is the best option we've had at quarterback since Donovan McNabb, and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. But you have to let the Bronco buck, as we like to say here in Philadelphia, and play to Carson's skill set. Get on the same page with him and Doug. I don't know why it's taken 4.5 years to figure out Carson Wentz, but he's a conundrum, man. You got to take the good with the bad with him, but I ultimately believe that they have a solution in number 11.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, there's a young player who's really been, I guess, getting some ink, as we say in the writing business, and that's linebacker Sean Bradley. Can you talk about his development, what he brings to that defense, and how that defense has kind of changed given his ascent?
Yeah, this is a very interesting topic, especially on my show, because we are a quote-unquote linebackers don't matter in Philadelphia ultimately because they never really value them, but to an extent they ultimately do matter because they have to play in matchups against very versatile tight ends and running backs. And in Philadelphia, we've been playing Nate Geary for the longest time, who I don't know why our coaching staff is still defending him, but frankly, he is probably one of the worst football players I had ever seen in Midnight Green, maybe ever to step into the NFL. And you're right, Patricia, Sean Bradley, and you have to mention even a young TJ Edwards and a young Alex Singleton and a young Davion Taylor and the snaps that all of those gentlemen have had. I think they have gone out and played fantastic football for what their skill set is. And Sean Bradley, I think, is arguably the most promising out of all of them because he is somebody, he's a Philly kid. He knows how the media is. He knows what it is to play in Philadelphia. He absolutely smokes people when he comes downhill. Somebody we haven't had in quite some time, a hard-hitting linebacker that is also athletic, because you see his numbers. If you look at his relative athletic score from Kent Lee Platy on Twitter, it's up there. It's in the upper echelon of linebackers, and the Eagles went for athleticism all around the football this year, and I have been very pleased with Sean Bradley. Lou and I on our show have been yelling from the clouds to get Sean Bradley on the field more, Patricia, so I would love to see him out there come Sunday because, frankly, they have to let the youth play, and that's one of the exciting things that I've seen in Philadelphia is that with all these injuries, as much as it has been a downfall for a few positions, you've also been able to evaluate a lot of the youth there. So you've been able to evaluate a guy like Sean Bradley, and frankly, I like the snaps that I've seen from him, and I want to see him get 20 and 30 snaps in games, not just 5 to 10, because frankly, you have to keep those athletic athletes on the field, because if you get into a situation where Evan Engram runs that slot post route like he did in week 7 and had the game on the line, you want an athletic player on him and not somebody that's just going to get blown by like the last player was. So you want Sean Bradley, you want Davion Taylor, these players that can go out there and use their athleticism. Yes, they're young, but you have to let them play eventually.
Absolutely. And that's, of course, what the Giants have been doing with rotating rookies in and out of the lineup and giving opportunities. Gino, final question for you. Again, even though it's only been 3 weeks, a lot of changes for the Eagles with guys coming back healthy. Give me some of the keys to the game here for the Eagles. What do they have to do to top the Giants? And what do the Giants have to be aware of if they want to avoid being embarrassed for a ninth straight game against this team?
Yeah, so I would definitely say if Miles Sanders is 100% healthy, that is going to be a player that they lean on heavily. If you've seen him running this season, before he got injured, he was one of the top backs in the NFL. He was right there behind Derrick Henry in terms of yards before he had gotten hurt. He has broken off 270-plus yard touchdown runs this year. Somebody that this team hasn't had to lean on the last few weeks, which ultimately I think does play into Carson Wentz having some poor games as well, because Miles is a huge, huge, huge key to this offense, not just in terms of the running game, but in terms of the passing game as well. He was the number one downfield receiver for us last year. His loss is huge. Same with Dallas Goedert. Same with the continuity on the offensive line. I think with Lane Johnson being back, it's going to be a lot tougher to get a lot of pass rush on the Eagles. But if you're going to beat them, you got to protect the deep ball, because they have two guys in Travis Fulham and Jalen Reagor and even John Hightower in there who are averaging over 15 yards per reception on the season. And Carson Wentz loves to throw the ball down the field, whether a guy is open or not. So they're going to continue to chuck the ball down the field. And if you want to beat the Eagles, what you have to do is get to Carson Wentz. You have to make him read the back end, confuse him on the back end in terms of coverage, throw some things his way when he's holding on to the ball for a little bit too long. And really, it ultimately comes down to if Carson Wentz can't make mistakes. And in terms of the defense, I still think even with the linebacker play that it's been better the last few weeks, that you could still target those areas. I still think that Evan Engram will probably have another good game. I still don't think our linebackers are anywhere in the top tier of the NFL at all. I still think we're a bottom five team in terms of linebackers. But in terms of the run game, I think you guys did a pretty decent job using your wide receivers and quarterbacks, and that's where the Eagles really struggle. They're averaging nearly 10 yards a play on plays like that. So don't fall in love with trying to get Devonta Freeman or Wayne Gallman hot. Just worry about getting your line or your wide receivers on the edge. Get Daniel Jones moving around a lot, and I think you could have some success on offense.
All right, he is Gino Camilleri. He is the co-host of Locked On Eagles. Make sure you are checking them out all week, because I'm sure they're going to be dropping a lot of great knowledge, as Gino just did here on this segment. We're going to take a break, Giant fans and Eagle fans. When we come back, we're going to turn the page, and I'm going to talk Giants with Gino, so stay with us.
Hey guys, Louis DiBiase of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Allow me to interrupt Gino and Patricia real quick to tell you about our sponsors over at Built Go, which comes from the same great people that bring you the Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall, whether that's a mental wall, a physical wall. Break through the grind with Built Go. For me, it's the overnight radio station grind of 10:30 p.m. to 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week. So that's both a mental grind and a physical grind. I got to break down that wall, and I use Built Go. It's 5-hour energy, basically without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. They come in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, that's my go-to. I'm a big peanut butter guy. Chocolate coconut and chocolate mint as well. They're easy to take on the go in 1.5-ounce packages. Put them in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine. For me, man, the back nine is when I really start to crash. Or put it in your pocket to get you through the day. Visit BuiltGo.com today and use the promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKED, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Built Go, let's go.
All right, everybody, welcome on back to Crossover Thursday, going into another great NFC East matchup as we take a trip down to Meadowlands Stadium. As always, I'm Gino Camilleri from Locked On Eagles, and we are joined by Patricia Traina from Locked On Giants. Patricia, what has been the state of the Giants since we last saw you? We know that there was a rough matchup against Washington last week, but they've shown some promise in the last few games, and I'm sure you're excited in what you've seen from the guys in blue.
Yeah, definitely. The Giants, of course, beating Washington again, now 2-0 against Washington, and they're the only two wins that the Giants have had. But here's the thing, Gino, I have never been this impressed by a team with a losing record as I have been with this Giants team. And I say that because, you know, you look at some of the things that were missing from this team in the past, the coaching, for example, the fundamentals, you know, the workmanlike attitude, the team first attitude, you know, these are all cliches that we hear from every football team, but some football teams, I think, enforce it a little bit more than others. And it just seems like you watch these guys, you watch what Joe Judge, the head coach of the Giants, has been doing with the offensive line rotation, for example, some of the innovation he's brought, you know, on his weekly Giants.com show. He, for example, he showed the Canadian gunner a tactic on special teams on punt returns that he borrowed, I think, from the Canadian Football League. And you just look at all this stuff and you say to yourself, wow. And you think, wow, it's just a matter of time before this team puts it all together. It might not be this year, although, as we said, you know, at the top of the program, the Giants and Eagles, if the Giants beat the Eagles, they will be tied for first place in the NFC East. But you really like the direction the Giants are going in. And that's despite the fact that they lost Saquon Barkley to a season-ending injury, as well as Lorenzo Carter on the defensive side of the ball. So really, if you're a Giant fan, no reason to hang your head in shame this year.
Absolutely. I believe that we're both kind of in the same place in terms of evaluation, in terms of our football team with these injuries. They're not always the worst thing in the world, because you're right, you can see some of those young guys go out there and play. And that's what I want to focus on real quick, is some of those players like Matt Peart. Shane Lemieux is one of my Oregon Ducks that I absolutely love. And a kid, Darnay Holmes, was one of my absolute favorites in the class. So what have these young guys brought to this Giants team? And have they really fell in line with this culture that Joe Judge has instilled so far?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the one constant denominator amongst all of them, maturity. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking kids who are 21, 22, 23 years old. And I don't know about you, Gino, but when I was that age, I thought I had all the answers. And of course, I found out I
did. I definitely agree.
So these kids, you know, they're coming in, they have their heads down, they're humbled, they're working, they understand that, okay, look, I'm no longer the big man on campus, I've got to work for my snaps. And they have approached it like a 10 or 12 year veteran would. It's really amazing. You know, I've had an opportunity to do some one-on-one interviews with some of these kids, and I am blown away by how mature they are. I feel like I'm talking to somebody who's been in the league for over 10 years, because, you know, and it's not just the reciting the party line, because I've had players in the past I've spoken with who recite the party line, but they don't understand what the party line actually means. They don't necessarily believe it, but they say it because it just sounds good. When you talk to these guys, you can hear that they not only understand it, but they practice it. And I think that's been a really, really big difference that stood out to me.
Absolutely. And I kind of think that if anybody had any understanding of where Joe Judge was coming from, you knew that he was going to instill this. And that's great that they're kind of following suit. And we talked about the young players, but I want to move to the veterans that you had brought in this season, Patricia, in particular, James Bradberry. I mean, you even have a player on the back end like Jabril Peppers, who has been there for a few years now. You bring in Logan Ryan. I mean, how has bringing in those veteran presence made a difference in terms of the young guys figuring the game out, how they prepare, how they understand the coaching staff, how they learn the game? Has that been instrumental in getting these young guys ready to go out there and play week in and week out?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. When the Giants cut Janoris Jenkins, they had to do it. I'm mm-hmm. not disputing the move, but at the same time, they lost the guy who was kind of showing all the young kids the way to go. They have replaced that with James Bradberry, who obviously is a little bit better of a locker room presence than I think they felt that Janoris Jenkins was. And on the flip side, when Michael Thomas, who I thought the world of, I mean, I just thought he was an amazing human being. I still think he's an amazing human being. When he signed with Houston, I thought, oh my gosh, what a void they have. Well, along comes Logan Ryan, and Logan Ryan has been everything plus as far as filling that void, just, you know, on the field, in the locker room. His teammates, his coaches speak highly. I mean, the other day, the way Joe Judge was talking about Logan Ryan, you would have sworn he was endorsing him for president or something. He spoke that highly of it. And you see it in Logan Ryan. This is a guy who's mature. And, you know, that's what you need on a young team. You have a lot of young players still who are, you know, in their second, third, fourth years. They're still young guys. So you bring in some of these experienced players who have, you know, been on playoff teams or been in the league for a number of years. And it balances out that youthfulness, because now these young guys have somebody they can look up to when there's a problem or a question or a scenario. And it's like having an extension of the coaching staff on the field with you, which I think has really helped this team.
Absolutely. I think finding that balance, and everything the NFL comes down to balance, but especially in that department. And I think you've seen teams, like if you look at the New York Jets, for example, somebody that's in New York, that they kind of don't have that balance. And you have to applaud a team just like the Giants, just like Washington, for example, that have those veterans on both sides of the ball that can continue to get the team to go out there and play exciting football. So I think this week is going to be very fun to watch. But Patricia, I want to move to off the field real quick. And somebody who always takes criticism in New York, Dave Gettleman. I want to hear your evaluation of Mr. Gettleman so far through these 10 weeks of the season, how you think he's done in terms of bringing in players, in his decisions of letting players go. How do you think they have done in terms of personnel so far this season?
Ooh, that's a hot topic, Gino. You know, obviously, at the end of the day, the record is what people look at, and the record is not very good. You look at, you know, Gettleman's record over the last 3 years, it's not good at all. With that said, I will say this. Gettleman has made some mistakes. You know, there have been some decisions that are head scratchers, and even one I'll cite that, you know, initially I saw the reason for it, and I was all on board with it, and now I'm not as on board with it as I was at the time. The drafting of Saquon Barkley, number two overall. And I say that because, you know, you look at what the Giants rushing offense has been able to do without him, four straight games with 100 yards plus. And that's all comes down to the offensive line. And as I always say, it doesn't matter who you have lining up in the backfield. If you don't have a good offensive line, you're not going to go very far. So with that said, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I think Dave Gettleman has had a mixed bag. You know, people are on my timeline. They're saying, oh, his draft picks suck. And you know, my response to that is we're told to give draft classes 3 years before we can fully evaluate them. And the 2018 class is now entering its third year. So if you're going to evaluate the draft classes, I think you have to look, you know, starting with the 2018 class and what they brought to the table. The free agent signings, well, you know, for every Nate Solder that he's brought in, he brought in a James Bradberry or a Blake Martinez or a Graham Gano, you know, or Logan Ryan. So he's had some hits in the free agency department. I don't think anybody can dispute that. He's had some misses. You know, people will also look and say, oh, you know, he screwed up with DeAndre Baker, who now is no longer with the team. And, you know, I don't want to be a Gettleman apologist here, but, you know, when it was a gamble that he felt was worth taking. And there was nothing in DeAndre Baker's history that would suggest that he might run afoul of the law. So, you know, the good thing is he cut his losses and he moved on. You know, that's the one thing you can say about Gettleman, is that he doesn't hang on to guys that, you know, proved to be a mistake. He did so with Patrick Omame. He did so with letting go of Jonathan Stewart. I suspect there's going to be more coming up. I don't think, for example, that Nate Solder and Golden Tate are going to be Giants next year. So, yeah, there's been mistakes made, but I think the worst thing a GM can do is compound them the way the previous regime did, and by holding on to the guy and trying to force him when he doesn't fit. You know, see Eric Flowers, for example. He didn't fit here. So, Gettleman's hasn't been perfect, but I think the jury's out. I think, you know, I think back to what John Mara said at the start of the year, and he was asked about progress. What does he need to see from this team to basically save Dave Gettleman's job? And he spoke about progress, but he never attached a clear definition as to what progress is. Was it a number of games? Was it trending in the right direction? I think John Mara did so purposely because he didn't want to be painted into a corner. But I think you can say that based on the progress the Giants have shown, even though it's not in the record, which is obviously the bottom line, I would say at this point, it's probably 80-20 that Gettleman does return for one more year.
Okay, yeah, that's very good information to hear. And I met Dave Gettleman down in Mobile, Alabama. He was a very nice guy, shook his hand. So if that means anything, he's a nice guy. And I hope the best, because I honestly tell you this all the time. I love when the NFC East is at its best, and I've been pleased from what I've seen from the Giants. I've been pleased from what I've seen out of Washington. Dallas is another story, but we'll talk about that at a later date. But Patricia, the matchup comes Sunday. Do you think the New York Giants will be tied for the NFC East after this clock hits zero come Sunday?
Oh, boy. You know what, Chino? I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes because A, they're way overdue, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, I just like the direction that this team is trending. Again, it's weird because you'd like to see wins. But, and, you know, I have a saying that I use. I say a win is a win and a loss is a loss. And Bill Parcells used to always say, you are what your record says you are. But yet I look at this Giant team and I look at what they're doing and how they're growing and how they're coming together. And there's really, really a lot to like about this team. I mean, you can't sit there and say, oh, God, you know, I've lost interest. I mean, they've kept it interesting. And, you know, a lot of people said to me at the start of the season, oh, you know, the Giants will be lucky if they're playing any meaningful games by early October. Well, here we are mid-November. And yes, the division stinks, like we talked about, but they're playing meaningful football. So I'd like to think they can build on the momentum from last week. You know, the Washington football team, I get it. They're not very good, but who in the NFC East really is very good? So I think there's a chance.
Absolutely. It's always a chance that the Eagles can blow a game and put themselves in a bad situation. And you're right, Patricia. I don't think this is a Giants team of last year, even the year before that. And we frankly saw that in week 7. And if I had to put a prediction on it, I think it's another 1 or 2 point game when it's all said and done. Might come down to another game-winning field goal for the Eagles. I honestly don't want to pick it because I don't want to put a jinx either way on my team. I've been doing so bad in that department. So I'm just going to call it a 24-23 game. Whoever comes out on top, I do not know yet, but I ultimately think it'll be one of the more fun games that we've seen in the Meadowlands the last few years. So Patricia, thank you as always for joining us on Crossover Thursday. Let our Eagles fans know where they could find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. You can also find my work at GiantsCountry.com, which is an SI.com sports channel. We are constantly updating the site. We've got quotes, audio, video. We will be running a game day blog on Sunday. So if you want to follow along, if you're, you know, you're a displaced Eagles fan or displaced Giants fan, not getting the game local on TV, we'll have, you know, reactions as they come in from the game. So check us out. And register for a free account. You can do so by clicking on the follow button and following the instructions and join us in our community.
Yeah, thank you, Patricia. And you guys know where to find me at Gino, GINO_LOE on Twitter. At DiBiase, LOE is my co-host, Lou. We will be back this week delivering a bunch of hard-hitting news coming up for this Giants matchup. You guys know where to find both of the podcasts, Locked On Eagles, Locked On Giants, at Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So thank you, everybody, for downloading, listening, subscribing. Have a great day. We will see you on Sunday, and fly, Eagles, fly.